Well, one of the most difficult things to do when you're asked to preach and you've decided to preach on a message that people have heard many, many times before and think they know everything about it is to get the best angle. Now, if you're a journalist, you'll know that... Go on. No, you're all right. There we are. Don't worry about it. Very good. It's to get the correct angle. So which angle would a journalist look at, for example, with the current Conservative leadership machinations? Well, if you're on the Daily Mirror, you would look from the left angle, okay? And if you're on the Daily Mail, you would look at the right angle. I'm not saying the Daily Mirror is always right, it often isn't, but it's the right angle. The interesting thing is, which angle does the BBC come from? Nobody seems to know these days, do they, unfortunately? They're supposed to be completely and utterly independent. But there's been many cases where that has not been the fact. Now, I've got no axe at all to grind against Zacchaeus. I think he's an absolutely fascinating character. Obviously, the Lord Jesus Christ did as well. And were not to know what the Lord knew about Zacchaeus, perhaps we wouldn't have wanted to go to his house, but the Lord definitely did. He was a man with a mission. And perhaps we could have looked this evening at the financial angle and considered the life and the trickery and the deceit of Zacchaeus and how it might apply to us. Or we can look at the human angle or the divine angle, or take some of each to come to our conclusions and draw some lessons out about this man's amazing conversion, because it was an amazing conversion. Now you might say, well, every conversion is amazing. Of course it is. If you're a Christian this evening, you are an amazing person. Remember what John Newton said about when he got to heaven. He said there'll be some amazed people there, not least of which will be my mother and father, who prayed for me regularly but never saw an answer to their prayers. They will be amazed to see me in heaven, and I'll be amazed to be there as well. But it's by the amazing grace of God. We must never ever take that for granted. So what we're going to look at, as my title says, and there's one word missing out of the church notice sheet, but we'll allow John that because he's had a very busy week and he's got COVID and this, that and the other. Prejudice, pride and proof. How do we know Zacchaeus was a real Christian? How do we know that by what he said, it wasn't just to impress the Lord Jesus Christ and then get him out of the house as quickly as possible? We know he was a real Christian because what Jesus Christ said about this man's conversion. Not what Zacchaeus did, although that was a source of proof, obviously. Not what Zacchaeus said, but the touchstone is what Jesus Christ said. And I don't know, as we come to these verses, which are in red in my Bible, to show us what Jesus said, if he had opened the door and said to everyone who'd had so much hostility to Zacchaeus, this is what's happened today. This man is different. And Zacchaeus was a marked man. Now, I was listening to the Ken Bruce show the other day, and he was recounting the tale of an email he received from somebody who had taken his child to work. It was "Take Your Child to Work Day." That might fill some of us with horror to see what life is like at work. Anyway, so we got to work nice and early, and the little girl came into the office and she was given a very warm welcome. About half an hour later, she sat sadly in the corner and her father said, "Whatever is wrong? You've come to work, you've come in my car, everyone's happy to see you." And she said to her father, "I'm sad, Dad. Where are all the clowns you work with? So you can imagine the conversation at home, can't you? You never guess what's said today. He's a real clown. You never guess what did. They're a real clown. Where are all the clowns you work with? Now I say that because what's something Ruth said before we look at this story of, or this word prejudice. She came home from Orchard Grammar School one afternoon. Oh, Dad, who's Rachel Prejudice? I said, I've never heard of Rachel Prejudice. They'd been learning about racial prejudice, but she'd misunderstood, as she often did, and was wondering who... Have you had children like that, Lee, at your school, who mishear things, either deliberately or... Who's Rachel Prejudice? This is the same Ruth, and Colin might remember this. She was paid one day and went to the post office outside the library, and I usually picked her up at about 1 o'clock, and she was there in floods of tears. Ruth, whatever is wrong? I've posted all the mail, but I've posted my pay packet as well. Will I ever get it back? So we had to wait for the postman to come and sift through all the mail. And then there was a little R. Black soul. Is that yours? Yes, it is. Oh, thanks very much. So there we are. And there are times when you put your hand down grids because she's put something down the bathroom or the toilet and things like that. It goes on with daughters, doesn't it? Anyway, Rachel Prejudice, this horrible word prejudice, and that's what we want to think about. Have a look in your Bible at Luke chapter 19, and what happens as the Lord Jesus Christ says that glorious invitation to Zacchaeus in verse 5. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they, his fellow... Is this such a word as Jerichoans? Anyway, the people who lived in Jericho. When they saw it, they all complained or murmured or muttered to themselves, perhaps, saying, he's gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. What's Luke all about? Well, I'm not going to reinvent the wheel. I'm going to read you what Luke's all about. And here it is from my Bible. Very, very helpful. A little pricey to every book. Luke, a physician, writes with the compassion and warmth of a family doctor as he carefully documents the perfect humanity of the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. He emphasizes his ancestry, birth, and early life before moving carefully and chronologically through his earthly ministry. Growing belief and growing opposition develop side by side. Those who believe are challenged to count the cost of discipleship. Those who oppose him will not be satisfied until the Son of Man hangs lifeless on the cross. But the resurrection ensures that his purpose will be fulfilled. And we come again to this verse, to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. So here's a man on a mission. A man on a mission that will never, ever, ever falter, fail. A man who set his heart like a flint to go to Calvary. A man who would not be put off. A man who said to his heavenly Father, I delight to do thy will, O my God. And we have some amazing stories of how that mission develops in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. But in Luke especially, we see some of the amazing people he meets and some of the amazing conversions that take place. And it's all summed up in Luke 19, verse 10. What was the prejudice of these people then? Well, in the dictionary, it's noted, it's a preconceived opinion or bias. Rather unfair, don't you think, in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ? How could anyone fail when they heard him and saw him and listened to him to at least be impressed by what he said and did? To hear how he forgave people, to see the miracles he did, to listen to the amazing parables he told. I remarked in a recent thought, did the Lord Jesus Christ have a sense of humour? Yes, he did. It was a very dry sense of humour, as he pointed out to the watching crowd, the glaring inconsistencies of the Pharisees, who'd go to such lengths to do this and that and the other with the hundreds of laws they had, and yet didn't love God and didn't love their neighbour. The irony wasn't lost on the Lord Jesus Christ. What hypocrites and rank hypocrites they were. Yet one of those was saved, wasn't he? Nicodemus. When you think about it, the Lord Jesus Christ has a perfect right to be prejudiced against us. Because we say in our pride and in our wisdom, we will not have this man to rule over us. We have a whole book telling us about God and who he is. We can read the commandments. We can read about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can't find any fault within him at all. He is the most lovely, beautiful, kind, gracious person. And yet we say in our pride, on our selfish ambition, we will not have this man to rule over us. No wonder God says in Revelation, I've got something against you. Speaking to one of the churches, I've got something against you. We have got no reason to be prejudiced against the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're prejudiced against God as well. Now we can see that in many, many ways in modern life, can't we? Like that man I spoke to today, who is a doctor and should know better, because you think that doctors are educated people and they should at least know a little bit about the Bible and a little bit about the Ten Commandments and a little bit about morality and things like that. This almighty, gracious, powerful, wise, holy God, we are prejudiced against him. So it's absolutely amazing that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes to Jericho, there is no prejudice at all against this man who he's come to seek and to save. Truly, it's grace in action. And it's absolutely wonderful. Now, we were talking before about balance sheets and the financial angle, if you like. We'll talk about the balance sheet that's presented in this brief account of this man, Zacchaeus. What was on the positive side of the balance sheet? Well, I've noted, first of all, he had a home. That's a blessing, isn't it, nowadays, to have a home of your own? He had a job. He wasn't unemployed. He could care for himself. He had a great skill and talent, although he used it in the wrong way, because he knew his way round a balance sheet. He was energetic. He could run. He wasn't handicapped. He had food on the table. And he had a house he could open up if only someone would come. But of course, we now move to the negative on the balance sheet. He was small. And perhaps he felt that very, very keenly. He had no friends. There was a great animosity to him. People would literally walk on the other side of the road when we saw Zacchaeus coming. There'd be a knock on the door. Who's there? Oh, mummy, it's that small man. He says we owe him some more money. He had a terrible reputation, and some things money can't buy. And his reputation was absolutely awful. He had some dark secrets. He had a bad conscience. I wonder if any of us like that tonight. We have, and we know we have, a negative balance sheet with God. You know, Christians are very, very realistic. You might have thought, that was a strange hymn we sang, 699, where we bemoan our let before God. But it's only Christians who will do that. Because God in his grace has opened our eyes to what we're really like. Now, people might come in from outside and say, oh, you've a lovely church. Well, we've got a card in the back saying that we sing like angels. That's nice, isn't it? The little girl, perhaps she's got faulty hearing, who knows? But anyway, we sing like angels. We drive nice cars, we're well dressed. We smile and talk when we come into church. But the Lord sees us as we are. We know that, don't we? Again, in the Gospel of Luke, two men go to pray. One walks to the very front. Thank God, he says, I'm not like the rest of these people. One man will not dare to look up to God, but beats himself on the breast and says that short, simple prayer, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Where do you fall tonight? How do you see yourself? Zacchaeus really didn't know what to make of the Lord Jesus Christ. No one had ever said, "Can I come to your house for tea?" Now we've got Elizabeth and James arriving. He should, God willing, have arrived by now. They set off from Hemel after morning service. But you know what it's like, don't you? You don't want visitors, do you? Well, we all say, "Oh, just take us as you find us." That's a downright lie, isn't it? Take us as you find us. Good grief, it wouldn't wash it with Gillian Blacksall, I'll tell you that. Oh no, everything's got to be nice. And why not? If we're having people to our house. But the Lord Jesus Christ, Zacchaeus had to take the Lord as he found him. He had no time to prepare. And this tells us a lot about the reality of the gospel. We can't prepare ourselves for God and put on a good side for God. Zacchaeus didn't have time to put his books away, but the Lord Jesus Christ might say, "My goodness me, Zacchaeus, there's a lot of books and a lot of money in this house." It was, as it were, Jesus Christ caught him on the hop. But the grace of God is so overwhelming that Zacchaeus could do nothing else but say, "Come to my house." There's a verse in the Bible that says, God will make those willing in the day of his power. And the Lord Jesus Christ had this amazing power. He was so winsome and kind. There were no threatenings here, were there? "I demand to come to your house and find out all about your wicked ways." There's no mention of that. But with a divine sense of imagination, shall we say, do you think the Lord Jesus Christ commented on the lovely meal he had? No. Do you think the Lord Jesus Christ made fun of his stature? No. Do you think the Lord Jesus Christ started to talk to him about things that really, really matter? This is what John was saying today. So much superficiality in religion. I heard of a church in Lancaster once, and thankfully our friends left it, where the subject of sin was verboten. We can't talk about that. How pathetic. So how on earth do you go through the Bible without talking about sin? And the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the work of the Holy Spirit, and real Christian living, where we are accountable, not just to God, but to each other. And where people might see, and that's what the hymn writer says, "Tell me the story often." And if you think I'm falling away, not falling away from the faith, but if you think I'm not as regular at the prayer meeting, I don't come to church as often as I should, I don't do this, that and the other, have a word with me about it. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ is about. He takes this very, very seriously. He knew exactly what Zacchaeus was like. He knew exactly how much money he'd made and stolen. And yet, he was coming as a man with a mission. And it's amazing that Zacchaeus, who hadn't a real inkling, he just wanted to see, who is this man that everyone's talking about? The Lord had been on the road now for weeks, hadn't he? He was 15 miles away from Jerusalem. That was going to be the next big event in his life, as he leaves Jericho and he comes to Jerusalem and they find the donkey and he walks into great acclaim. And then a few chapters later, the scribes and the Pharisees are plotting, how are we going to kill this man? Because they'd heard again his parables and his teaching and seen him in action. So the prejudice of the crowd as they judge the Lord Jesus Christ, the prejudice perhaps and the bias of the Lord Jesus Christ in a good way. I'm going to Zacchaeus' house. I'm going to have a meal. I'm going to spend time with him. We see that that was absolutely amazing. John was talking about good hymns this morning, and here's one of my favourites. It could apply to Zacchaeus as he faced the truth as the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to him. 389, "Come ye sinners, poor and needy. Let not conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. This he gives you. 'Tis the Spirit's rising beam. So, come ye weary, heavy laden, lost and ruined by the fall. If you wait until you're better, brackets, Zacchaeus, close brackets, you will never come at all, will you, Zacchaeus? Not the righteous, Zacchaeus. Sinners, Jesus came to call. And that's what happened in the life of Zacchaeus. He was confronted with his sin. And this was no mere talk by Zacchaeus as he says to the Lord Jesus Christ, "Look, Lord, I'll give half of my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." And this gives an inkling to what kind of man he was. He had such accurate records, he could go through an A to Z of Jericho and know exactly how much, this is a big word, he'd inveigled from them. How much he'd stolen from them and how much he wanted to give them back. My goodness me, that knock on the door was something you'd never forget. "Mum, there's a man at the door. Who is it?" Zacchaeus telling, no, he's got a great big bag of money. "Oh, bring him in." And there we are. And little by little, all of Zacchaeus's worldly wealth was given back because it wasn't his to begin with. In fact, everything we have is given to us by God, and we are to make sure that we use it in the right and proper manner. And that does not mean stealing from our fellow man. That's one of the commandments. Thou shalt not steal. We're not finished yet. We're talking about prejudice, but now we're going to talk about pride. Jesus Christ was really pleased to see Zacchaeus saved. That doesn't mean to say there was a chance, we don't believe in chance, that Zacchaeus wouldn't be saved, but it would be a nice meal and a nice talk, and I'll think about these things like people did in the Acts of the Apostles. I'll talk to you again about this, Paul. That's really interesting. Oh no, the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't take no for an answer, but in the nicest possible way. Oh love, that will not let me go. So the Lord Jesus Christ was absolutely thrilled to say these wonderful words to him, and we think to a wider audience. Today, salvation has come to this house. Zacchaeus, you are saved. Zacchaeus, you are forgiven. Spurgeon once asked a very interesting question, and we don't know the answer to it. He said, "Will there be more people in heaven than hell?" That's a really interesting question. Will the Lord Jesus Christ have the final victory? Or will Satan take more people to hell with him? That's a very interesting question. So the Lord Jesus Christ was thrilled with his reception and thrilled with the result and thrilled to be able to say, today salvation has come to this house. 2 Timothy 2:19, the Lord knows those who are his. How do we know that the Lord Jesus Christ's pride was justified, and the proof that Zacchaeus really had been saved, and the proof that you and I, if we name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, really have been saved? Well, there's a little word in here which tells us the whole thing we need to know. He also is a son of Abraham. He's been adopted into God's family. He's a son of Abraham. He's been adopted into the family of God. And if that's been the case, you can't be unadopted. You are a member of the family. God is ahead of that family. The Lord Jesus Christ is ahead of that family. The Holy Spirit works in your life. And we see that this man, Zacchaeus, is truly, truly saved. What happens next? further proof. Zacchaeus does not walk out and say to the Lord Jesus Christ, "Where are we going next?" No. Zacchaeus stays in Jericho. He is a witness to everyone. So in a year's time, 2 years' time, 3 years' time, do you remember when Jesus came to Jericho? Not half. We remember where he went, who he met with, where he had a meal. Yes, but have you had your money back from Zacchaeus? I have. What a bonus. Absolutely amazing. He is a changed man. How do we know that Zacchaeus was a Christian? How do we know that we are Christians? We are changed people. The Lord Jesus Christ did not have the madman who was naked and wore chains as a disciple. He sent him back to his family. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't say to the lady in John chapter 8, "Now you come and follow me." She stayed where she was and was told, "Sin no more," i.e. give up that immoral lifestyle and be my witness. People have seen what's happened. I've forgiven you. The Pharisees walked out. You know you're saved. You know you're forgiven. You don't need to follow me and be my disciple. You can be a witness where you are. The widow of Nain's son didn't follow the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a witness in the town of Nain. And we have many, many examples, don't we, of people being witnesses where the Lord has placed them. For example, on Yew Tree Road in Ormskirk, or wherever you go to school, or wherever you work, or wherever you find your friends and neighbours, we are witnesses. And why not? Just a few final observations. First of all, are we known for our honesty? Secondly, do we have a reputation? Thirdly, why don't we hear more often about amazing conversions like Zacchaeus? That's probably one of the saddest things nowadays, isn't it? But we don't hear, I'm sure there are, but we don't hear about amazing conversions like Zacchaeus and lives that have been turned upside down. Well, who knows who's going to come through the door of our holiday Bible club tomorrow and how the Lord is going to touch their little lives and use them in the future. That's the only reason I believe we have a holiday Bible club. It's not to take children off the hands of their frazzled parents. It's to teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ and his love for them. So let's remember who he is we've been talking about. He's the Son of Man, and he's come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen.